Vivo fingiendo un sueño que no se cuenta. Vivo imaginándote, solo imaginándote, pero el amor se escapa aunque yo te mienta. Yo estaba buscándote, sola aquí esperándote, y tú mirándome sin hablar, y yo hablándote sin mirar, y tú no sé lo que estás sintiendo, pero yo me estoy muriendo. Cuanto más bailar contigo y perdernos esta noche, bailar contigo sin que importe nadie más, bailar contigo en la arena y los tambores, tienes la llama que enciende mi alma y nos hace volar. Sin mirar, y tú ya sé lo que estás sintiendo, ya sabes que estoy muriendo, no aguanto más bailar contigo y perdernos esta noche, bailar contigo sin que importe nadie más, bailar contigo en la arena y los tambores, tienes la llama que enciende mi alma y nos hace volar.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Lem. I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today I'll be sitting with Bernice Moreno. She's a journalist, a student, and a very inspirational person. Why? Maybe you're asking, why is she inspirational? Well, she's a mother too, and she's not letting that hold her back. She's pursuing her dream of becoming a journalist. You can find her work at the Wilmington Wire. All you gotta do is go to Facebook and look up the Wilmington Wire, and you can find all her writings there. I don't know, I was kind of nervous. I didn't know what I was doing, I guess. A little bit, just a little bit. Because I was kind of intimidated by her. Because she's going to school, she's learning about this, and she knows how to actually interview somebody. And I'm over here trying to do my best. But she reassured me that I did a good job, so I don't know if she was lying, if she was. Man, she's probably not gonna listen to this episode. I hope her story helps somebody, you know, somebody that might be second guessing themselves. So hopefully, I hope her story helps somebody. So we're gonna find out more about her, how she started, why she started. She has so many things going on for her. She has school, she sings, she's actually working on a radio show, and she's doing it all trying to prove that life is what you make of it. And she's gonna do her best to prove everybody that says that she can't do it because she's a mother, because she just had a baby, or for all those people that tell themselves that they can't do it, she just wants to be an example to show that you can do it. All you gotta do is put your mind to it, and I believe she's doing a great job at it. I just want to remind you guys, I do have a giveaway going on right now, and there's gonna be a clue at the end of this episode. I thought it was kind of fitting because Bernice interviewed the homies Just Us. They're gonna be performing at the Art Walk, and I thought it all just, you know, it all came together at the right time. If you want to read the interview that she did with the homies from Just Us, like I mentioned earlier, just go to Facebook, go on the Wilmington Art Walk. And if you want to read more about the story that she talks about on the interview, make sure you go and check it out at the same place, the Wilmington Art Walk. Hopefully you guys are having a great weekend, and this weekend is going to be Cinco de Mayo, and I hope you guys come and attend the Art Walk. It's going to happen at 1, it's going to be from 1 to 6, and I'll be there. The homies from Just Us, they're gonna be performing. Unknown Phenom's gonna be there. Synesthesia's Boutique is gonna be there. There's gonna be a lot of great people. Like, a lot of people that have come on the podcast. People that haven't come out, but they're gonna come out. So make sure you come and support us. Show us some love. I'll be having my hats. I only have four of the new logo, the neon logo. I only have four left. So hopefully you guys come and support us. And if you want to get your hands on one, you're gonna have to come in kind of early. I do have 6 OG hats. I'll have stickers. So if you want one, make sure you come say hi. I'm thinking of taking my setup, so maybe you could tell me what you think. I'll take my setup. You guys could pretend that you're on the podcast yourself, take a picture, post it online, you know, and we could just, maybe I'll ask you some questions, you know. Depending on how many people show up and how many people I get, maybe, just maybe, I'll put out an episode just about the art walk. So if you want to be on the podcast, you know, come through. Tell me you're gonna come. That way I could know whether or not to take my equipment. Talking about the homies of Just Us, they're kind enough to give me a shirt to give away to one of you. So make sure you go on my Instagram and check out the giveaway. It's simple. You're gonna get to choose between the black or a white tee, Just Us. The rules are, all you have to do is follow the homies of Just Us. And obviously you gotta be following me. And if you're not, and if you replied, if you're not following me and you pretty much, you gave out the answer and it's right, I feel sorry for you. I think that's a given. So make sure you're following me. Follow the homies, Just Us. Answer the question, what was the first song they released? I'll give you guys a hint. If you go on their SoundCloud or on their YouTube, you'll be able to find out. What a fucking hint, right? I think it's the best hint. All right, guys. Well, I'm gonna leave you with the song. I'm a little hungry now. I just came back from working out. I smell. Gotta take a shower. You don't need to imagine any of that. Clear your mind. Just clear your mind. Relax. Let the song playing right now, let it relax you. Hopefully it's relaxing. And good luck to everybody that has entered the giveaway. Enjoy this episode and enjoy this song. What's up, everybody? Welcome back. Did you guys enjoy that song? Like, you guys know, I don't know what song is playing right now. It's always a mystery to me, but it's always a fun mystery. So today I'm singing with Berenice Moreno. She's a journalist and a writer from the city of Wilmington. She actually works with the Wilmington Wire. If you guys are from Wilmington, if you don't know what that is, then you should probably do your homework and go see what's up. So how are you, Berenice?
I'm great. I'm fabulous. I'm so excited. Thank you for having me here today.
Yeah, I mean, how's your day so far? I mean,
my day has been very productive. As many of you that are listening don't know, but I'm a mother of two, and I'm also a student at Cal State LA, and I'm also a wife, so I'm always busy. I always have so many things to do. My day is always very productive. I wake up very early in the morning. I take my little one. I have a 5-year-old and a 9-month-old baby, and I take my 5-year-old in the mornings to elementary school, drop him off, and then I drop off my 9-month-old baby with my sister, which I'm very grateful to have because she helps me out a lot. I have a great support system. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I get very emotional when I think about all the things that I've been through and how difficult it has been, and where there was times where I was just doubting myself and my talents. And I thought just because I became a mom, my dreams were over. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I believe in God, and God has given me the power and the faith to keep going.
Wow.
And I feel that's really important when you want to reach your goals and you want to keep going. You have to believe in something.
Yeah, that's true. So, like, what's your motivation factor? Like, I'm imagining, like, at one point you didn't want to go to school, right? So, like, what made you want to go back to, like, pursue that education and become, like, a journalist right now? That's your dream right now, right?
Yes, my dream is to be a journalist, to work in Telemundo, Univision, and be a news reporter. That's been my dream all the time. I've always been, honestly, since I was in high school, I've always been a very positive person. Mm-hmm. Well, I've always known what I wanted in life, but I feel like as a first generation student, it was really hard for me to... I never really had that guidance.
Okay.
I'm the oldest of 4 girls. Mm. So my parents didn't even finish elementary school.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
No one in my family has gone through college. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I would feel like I needed help, but I just didn't know who to look up to, who to go to.
Yeah.
So then I decided that I had to do everything on my own, or else no one was gonna hand things to me.
Yeah.
So I had to find a way. So I enrolled at El Camino College, and I did 2 years there. And I kept questioning, like I said in the beginning, I questioned my talents and I doubted myself a lot. And I was like, can I even do this?
Like, what was it exactly, like, what was making you doubt yourself? Was it like that, like you said, like the lack of guidance, like you didn't know what you were doing, like you kind of felt lost? Or what was it exactly that made you feel like you weren't good enough, I guess?
I feel a lot had to do with the fact that I'm the oldest child, and my dad was very overprotective.
Okay.
So he will always made me feel like to fear the world.
Oh, that sucks.
So there was things that I wanted to do, and my dad was like, no, you can't do that. You can't do it because you're a woman. They're going to take advantage of you. You can't get into this industry because it's hard, and I don't like how they treat the woman. So I kind of became a rebel. Not a rebel as in a bad way.
Yeah, yeah.
I just kind of...
You rebelled against your, like, parents, right? Like, you didn't, like, They were telling you one thing, but you weren't listening to them.
Like exactly.
That. Yeah.
And now my parents are old school, so they don't really know how to express themselves to me or tell me that they're proud of me.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know deep inside they are.
Yeah. I mean, as Latinos, Hispanic parents, it's all about work. Like they show their love with actions. They're not really with words or affection like that. So I can kind of see that. I can relate to that a little bit, I guess. Yeah.
And another thing that affected me and my self-esteem a lot was the fact that I became a mom at 22. Mm. I wasn't expecting it. I always thought that I was going to become a mom when I turned 30. Yeah, I had different goals and a different mindset at the time. So my world just came crashing down because in my culture, I'm Mexican, but I've been taught all my life that when you have children, your life is over. But honestly, your life is not over when you have children.
Yeah, yeah.
I learned that it's the beginning of great things.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
My children made me, because I have two now, but
her first child.
My first child made me realize that I can do anything I wanted. And that he motivated me. He motivated me in everything I did. Honestly, who would ever thought that at age 28, I would have been that I was gonna become a homeowner?
Wow!
I never in my life even thought about owning my own home.
Yeah, yeah.
And especially because with no guidance, mm-hmm. and I feel like my son had a lot to do with it because I feel like I matured
quicker, and
I hustled more for everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So. I'm just very thankful. I feel like God sent me my children for a purpose so I can become an inspiration for other women that want to continue to keep getting an education or to keep doing something. And I feel like that's why I want to become a journalist, because I want to serve and inspire other women and help.
So what exactly is it about journalism that attracted you? What specifically was how is journalism gonna make you achieve that goal of ever being able to help other women, pretty much where you were at, thinking that they weren't good enough or that couldn't do it because they're mothers? Because I feel like that's your angle, right? You're trying to help either single mothers or young mothers, you know, that are trying to pursue education, that maybe they feel that they can't do it, you know, especially they just had a child and he or she might be young, you know, and they're both young and they're trying to, they have a 9-to-5 and then on top of that, they have school. So I feel like those are the women that you're trying to pretty much inspire, right?
I'm a big believer in woman empowerment. Mm-hmm. And I love when I get messages of women that are seeing my work and seeing what I'm doing, and they tell me, Bernice, you inspired me. Keep doing what you're doing. I enrolled in school because I'm seeing what you're doing. Because I went, when I went to El Camino, I finished and I got two associate's degrees. I got one in Spanish and I got one in communications. So then I transferred to Cal State LA. And right now I'm broadcast journalism with a minor in communications.
Okay.
And I went to school pregnant.
Oh.
And I will get dirty looks sometimes because people will tell me, why are you trying to pursue journalism if you have children, you're pregnant? It's a hard industry to get into. But honestly, when someone tells me no, I'm like, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
So I'm beating... I'm trying to beat all odds against me.
Yeah.
I'm very involved in school. I'm doing the Wilmington Wire. I'm a contributing writer. I'm doing beautiful stories of people that have so much talent in Wilmington. And I want people to know that it's not just crime and disturbing stories that come out of Wilmington. Yeah. We have so many talented people that are doing great things for the community. And I want people to know that. And I want people to be able to know those people and be able to empower those people too as well, and support our local community, our local businesses, our people that are trying to do great things in Wilmington.
So, like, how did you find out about the Wilmington Wire? Because honestly, like, I don't know anything about it. Maybe you could tell me about them and then how you found out or something.
Well, honestly, I followed their page, and I kept always seeing all the how well respected they are, and they have so many people following the page, and I just kept seeing it, and I'm like, is God trying to tell me something? Maybe He wants me to join the Wilmington Wire, because why is it that every time that I kept logging in on Facebook, I kept seeing it?
Yeah,
and it was always on my face, and then I started, I went into their homepage and I started reading about the people that started the Wilmington Wire. So I contacted, I got the email of Lauren, which she's one of the one that started the Wilmington Wire. And her name is Lauren Valdez. So I got in contact with her. I sent her an email and I told her about how I wanted to be a contributor and how I was interested. And I didn't get any, she didn't really write back to me.
Like right away?
Right away. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bummed out at first, because I'm like, what if they're not interested in me? Or
yeah, yeah.
Did I write something wrong? Or,
yeah.
But she did get in contact with me after like a week.
Uh-huh.
And then she told me, she's like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't read your message sooner. But I want to set up an interview with you and want to know a little bit about who you are and what you're doing. So that's how it happened. And she said she loved the way I was, and she told me she was very excited to see what my work. And ever since, I've been doing that. I've been interviewing people from Wilmington and taking their pictures and writing their stories.
When did you decide like writing was the path that you wanted to take?
Well, honestly, writing was never, I'm still learning.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you become a writer until you actually write.
Yeah,
you have to write every single day, and that's the only way to improve. And I love writing, but I feel like I've always had a passion for the arts, and it doesn't necessarily have to be writing. Mm-hmm. I love, I'm a singer too. I've been singing since age 10, and my dream before I decided I wanted to get into journalism is I wanted to be a singer.
Okay.
But it's a very competitive field, so I just decided to
get out.
To,
I mean, this field and singing, they're both entertainment, so I figured like both of them are really competitive. Like, in a way, I'm competing with you with what I'm doing, you know? But like, I don't know. Like, honestly, like, I don't know what's going on. Like, I just stick to I put my head down and I work and work and work. And I feel like that's how I'm going to do the work. But I mean, obviously, you have more information than I do. You're going to school for this. But like, regardless whether it's this or it's music, like, I feel like you still stay in the same path. Like, you still want to interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
And still, like, it's in the same field. Like, you want to be on TV, entertainment, singing, like writing, like all this has to do with like pretty much the same business, you know? It's just like maybe there's different alleys to it, like different ways to get there, but essentially you're trying to like interact with people.
That's true. Essentially everything starts connecting within
yeah.
each other.
Yeah.
So I have a passion for music. I have a passion for I draw also. I love to draw. Those are my hobbies. I just feel like I'm very talented in so many things that's the reason why I want to be a journalist, because I feel like I can be open to more. But I feel like what fulfills me about becoming a journalist is that I love helping people.
Uh-huh.
So if I can have the power of becoming a reporter and working for any news station and just interviewing and becoming an investigative reporter where I can do stories of people that are hurting, there are people that their voices are not being heard, that to me fulfills me as a person. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like journalism is for me. Because every time I sit down and I talk to a mother that has lost their child, it breaks my heart. But in a way, I want to know that story and I want to put it out there because I don't want another mother to go through the same situation that mother's going through.
So, like, what are the stories that you usually, like, write about or the stories that you report on?
Well, I've been working in some projects about street vendors. Those people are very underestimated and have been going through a lot of social issues where they're not wanted or sometimes they get their stuff thrown away by the city because they don't own permits.
Okay.
So I feel like everyone's important in this world and people should treat everyone the same way, regardless of who you are. Like, for example, to me, just because you're an artist or you're famous, I'm not going to treat you any different from a person that I see selling out on the streets. I'm going to treat you the same. Yeah. I have the same view for everyone. Like, I don't like treating people any different.
Yeah. So honestly, like, actually today I was thinking about that too. So I don't know. I mean, in middle school, I used to some of my classmates, their parents used to sell that. Like, they used to sell, we're like street vendors. They'll sell chicharrones. They'll sell raspados.
Tamales.
Yeah. And then, like, the other students would make fun of them because their parents would do that or they would help their parents. But now, as I'm getting older, like, all I see are all these memes and all about, like, all the elotero is, like, the only man, like, I wait for is the elotero, da, da, da. But, like before, like, there were all these people that are putting all those memes, whatever. They were talking smack about them, you know? And now, like, all of a sudden, like, oh, now you love them? Like, actually, I was going to write this today. I was going to make a video about it today. I was going to be like, I was going to tell, like, straight up tell people, like, go tell, like, apologize to that person that you made fun of. If you made fun of that person, go apologize to them. Because, like, I'm carrying that right now and I didn't even go through it, you know? And, like, I could only imagine, like, what they were going through. And their parents were, like, they were making an honest living. They're working, like, hard. They're pretty much investing their own money into whatever they're doing, you know? And then, like you said, like, most of the times they would either get a ticket, their stuff thrown out, arrested, or sometimes they would even, like, rob them, you know, like, for their stuff. And, like, it sucks, you know? And I personally never really talked to one, like, a street vendor. But, you know, like, that does spark my interest. Like, the stories that you're talking about.
Street vendors that lose their life because they get robbed.
Yeah.
And it's not even a lot of money that they carry with them.
Yeah.
And I think there was a situation that just happened here in San Pedro where a man got almost beaten to death.
Really?
By 5 individuals. Wow. And it got me so heated, especially knowing that it hit so close to home. Mm. This just happened in San Pedro.
Yeah.
And these men almost beat to death this man, and it was a racist situation.
Oh, okay.
Just because he was Hispanic. Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. So the color of his skin, especially with what's going on with the new president Donald Trump. Honestly, that's another reason why I'm trying my best in school, because I feel right now as Latinos, it's really important for us to get an education.
Yeah.
Because there's just so many unfair situations.
I think ignorant people that aren't educated that They just go by with like what's he said, she said type of deal. And they believe it and take it to heart. Like a lot of them don't really know anything. You know, they don't know their own history, their own culture. They're just because somebody said this. And a lot of people like they know pretty much they believe it too. Then I'm gonna believe it too. You know?
I just feel like it's a very sensitive topic that it's race. Very misunderstood. And sometimes we're not ready to...
Yeah, I mean, I
to think, hear those things.
Yeah, I think it's just the fact of educated and going out there and researching it. Don't go about what your friends are telling you. Don't go about what the news is saying. Like the best way you're gonna find out what's really going on is if you do the research yourself. You know.
True.
So like, let me ask you, like, what do you think are some good qualities that like a journalist should have? Like, I don't really know, but maybe you could tell me.
First, I think one of the qualities that's very important is being able to connect with people. Having great interviewing skills where you're able to... Being able to talk to a person like that person's related to you. Making them feel comfortable. And asking the proper questions. Because if you're going to... Say, for example, I'm already working at an important big news station, and they ask me, they need me to get a soundbite from a mom that has just lost their child. A soundbite means like a sound of the mom crying or
oh, wow.
Just yeah.
Yeah.
So
like audio of
audio of the person.
Yeah.
So if they ask me, Bernice, can you go get a soundbite from the mom? Can you go interview her? It's going to be tough for me as a journalist to reach out to the mom because she has just lost her child. I don't want to...
Like cause more grief.
Or exactly. Like her, I just don't want to interrupt her while she's...
Like grieving.
Grieving. So if I go up to her, first of all, I will... make her feel comfortable. I will hug her and I will ask her for permission if I can interview her.
Yeah.
And if she tells me no, I have to respect that.
Yeah.
I can invade her privacy or be persistent and be like, I need to interview you. I need to get it.
Yeah.
I feel sometimes that's the difficult part of being a journalist, that sometimes you have to follow like the company rules and you kind of have to... It's hard to explain, but you can't really let your emotions kick in, and you have to be very strong.
Yeah.
You can't let it... Like, if you're going to interview the mom when she tells you yes, you can't be crying and asking her questions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's going to be situations where you're going to be... Where am I going to be reporting stories that are pretty difficult to...
Like, for yourself.
To deal with. Yeah. But, I mean... That's what I love. That's what my passion. I don't like the fact that those things are happening, but I feel like those stories need to be told as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I don't want a mom. I want a mom to be more aware that if they don't take care of their children and they end up in the streets, they could end up getting shot, you know, or killed.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you pretty much, you're trying to educate them, you know, like, Learn from this example. Don't let this like this happen to you type of story, you know?
And right? Another important thing I feel as a journalist, it's really important to put yourself out there professionally, have great connections with people that are working within the industry, and get yourself a mentor, someone that you've feel like you have like similarities, things in common, and that you look up to. Because when you do have that, I feel like you follow you every time you're doing something or you're writing a report. It's a very competitive field, so you want to be the best of the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you have someone that you look up to already that's doing great things, you want to be able to connect with that person and for them to be following up with you and what you're doing so they can help you out and how they became successful so you can become successful as well.
So, like, do you have any mentors? right
yes,
now?
Yes, one of my mentors, her name is Nancy Leal. She works for Telemundo 52.
Oh, cool.
LA. And Telemundo is the number two market for news here in the United LA? States.
Oh, okay.
So it's a big market, and it's a big accomplishment for me as well to be able and be fortunate enough to have a mentor that has 18 years of experience and wow. that can give me great feedback and what I need to work on in order to become a great journalist.
So like, can you tell me how that happened? Was it through schooling or was it like...
Honestly, I'm the kind of person that I'm a risk taker.
Okay.
People told me it was going to be really hard for me to even walk into Telemundo uh-huh. or to get a mentor. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do my own thing. And I send her an email and she replied back to me and she told me that. And then she followed me on Instagram mm-hmm. and I follow her. Well, we both followed each other and we started just connecting all the time. And then she kept telling me she loved the work that I was doing on Instagram. So I really feel like Instagram, has been such a great asset for me because yeah. honestly, most of all my connections have been through Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been told all the time that it's through LinkedIn, which I do have a LinkedIn, but I feel like this is something really important, especially right now, the listeners, the people that are listening right now, make sure you connect on Instagram. You don't be afraid. Even though I doubted my talents all the time, I learned that ever since I stopped doubting myself and I just became a risk taker and I just trust my instincts, I'm becoming more successful. And I'm a big believer that the universe takes care of the rest. You attract who you are, what you are. So if you start getting very, what I do is I put 5 goals every day, every month, of what I want to do and what I want to reach. And by the end of the month, those goals, I make sure I reach those goals. And so far, everything's been working my way. Mm-hmm. So I'm very thankful for that. So make sure you connect on Instagram and don't be afraid to reach out to people, even if they have a lot of followers. Trust me, people read your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually how I contacted you to come on.
Exactly, right? Yeah.
Like, I could attest to that. Like, a lot of, like, I think 95% of the guests I've had on have been through Instagram.
Exactly, that's yeah. how I got in contact with my mentor. And then I was fortunate enough for her to invite me and shadow her to see how it's like to be an anchor. And for me, I was so excited that I couldn't believe it. That's like one of my dream jobs, to be able to work for a company like that. But eventually I know that to start off, especially in that industry, you have to start off somewhere small and eventually you work your way up there. So I'm gonna work really hard. And you can't be an anchor unless you get experience in the field. Uh-huh. So right now my aim is to be a news reporter. Okay. And then after, I'll have time to think about if I want to become an anchor. But eventually I will, once I get more settled in and getting more experience and connecting with people and doing stories.
Does like the classes that you're taking, do they make you like go on assignment, or who do you go on assignment for? Is it for the Wilmington Wire, or is there another like organization that you're like contributing to that they're the ones that sending you to like talk to the mothers of like that recently lost a child?
I'm taking a field reporting class, so all that stuff is through the school. And those stories, they're actually created by me. The leads of the stories, I make. So I take the risk of doing those stories.
Okay.
So it's not the school sending me by any means or anything. It's just that's how I'm challenging myself. So those are leads that I'm creating on my own. And those are stories that I'm doing on my own.
And is this for the class?
Yes, it's for the class.
Okay. So, like, is there, like, a topic that they give you and then you're the one that searches for the person that, that what's it called? That fits the requirement, or like
no, I create the well, I have an idea of a story that I'm interested in, and then I go and find out more information about it, and that's how I create my stories.
So did you ever think about going into newspaper? Like,
well, honestly,
is that just a whole different field?
That's a whole different field, because I feel like print journalism is dying.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, I feel like right now one of my focuses is becoming more digital, because that's where the future is right now. Okay. People want to see more video content than they do, than they want to read.
Yeah. So, like, since you mentioned that, like, print is dying, like, I think the news is dying a little bit too. Do you think like the news is gonna go more towards like social media, and it's not being more on TV, or like you think it's gonna be more like YouTube?
It's gonna be digital. That's one of the reasons why I brought that topic up, that everything's becoming more video. So that's one of the reasons why one of my goals right now is branding myself and starting my own YouTube channel, where I can start doing interviews and doing the stories that I'm already doing for my schoolwork. So I'm in the process of doing that.
So that's like another side thing that you're doing on your own?
Yes.
You mentioned that you're working for the Wilmington Wire, you know, like you were doing stories for them. So like, what exactly, like, what is it about the city of Wilmington that, like, were you born and raised there? Or like, what is it about the city that made you want to like do that for the city and show like a different side? Of like, not show the violence or like show all the crime. Like, you want to show the positive things coming out of the city.
Well, I was not raised in Wilmington, but I was raised in Torrance, and not the nice area of Torrance. I was always surrounded by gang violence as well. And I attended Narvan High School, but now I'm a currently Wilmington resident. I've been living there for 4 years. Like I mentioned before, me and my husband bought our home in Wilmington, and I'm raising my two children in Wilmington. So it bothered me a lot that when I will tell people that I live in Wilmington, people, instead of telling me that they were proud of me having a home in Wilmington, they kind of just always tell me like, why are you living in Wilmington? Wilmington, it's not safe. Wilmington, and honestly, I love living in Wilmington. Like I said, I've been living there for 4 years and I've never had any issues. I love my neighbors. I love supporting the local businesses around Wilmington, and that's one of the reasons why I feel like I need to contribute more for Wilmington, because I'm raising my children there.
Yeah.
And I want my children to get the best experience out of it. Yeah. Out of Wilmington too.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And I told my husband, you know what? I think we're here for a reason. We're in Wilmington because as an educator, your goal is to make a difference in these kids. And I feel like I'm here in Wilmington because my goal is to become a journalist. And when I do start getting big, I want to be able to come back and maybe start a journalism program where I can inspire students that want to pursue the same career as me and help them out and help them get guidance that I know I didn't have.
Yeah. Have you ever thought of doing that, like now? Like going to like Banning or back to Narvan or maybe Carson or even Pedro? Because, I mean, I know all those schools, they do have a little journalism thing where they have, like, a monthly or every, like, bi-monthly, like, newspaper. So have you ever thought of going back and, you know, maybe be a part of it and contributing to the, like, city that way?
I have thought about that, but right now I'm really focused on graduating.
Okay.
So I have a lot in my plate, so yeah. I don't want to get involved into something that I know I'm not going to give my 100% dedication on.
Yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
But so, that's definitely in my plans.
Like you said, once like you're blowing up, once you blow up and you're anchor at Channel 52 at Telemundo, then I'm sure you could come back and maybe go to the Boys and Girls Club, or maybe like
make a difference. Yeah. You know, I feel like there's a lot of children in Wilmington that are hurting.
Yeah. You know?
And that's why they get into trouble, or they get into things that they shouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they don't have the guidance. And I feel it's really important for us, people that are people my age that already have an education or are aiming to get an education, to come back and make a difference and help these children out.
Like, what's the most important job of a journalist and the press in general? Like, what do you feel like that they should be doing, you know, as journalists or like entertainers or...
Informing the community. I think it's really important, even though a lot of people say that it's the term that it's unfortunately has become really big, fake news.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people don't want to watch the news because they say it's fake. But if you think about it, if the news doesn't bring out all this information, how are you going to know about it? If there was a shooting or a someone got raped two blocks down and you're not watching the news, or the news is not reporting about it, what about if you pass through there and you get into a bad situation, and then you're gonna be questioning yourself, how come I didn't know about this?
Yeah, it's
I feel like it's very fundamental for people to follow and hear and read news.
So like the Like, I don't know, like, for some reason, like, I have a feeling that journalism is going to go more of a, like, freelancer, like, freelancing
kind of way. It already is. A lot of people are freelance.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to get tied down with the companies, you know?
No, I mean, yeah, for what you just brought up. Like, I feel like these big, like, Univision and Telemundo, they have kind of an agenda. Like, they're in some way they're kind of biased, you know. I like, in my opinion, you know, that's my opinion, they're biased and they're only going to show you one side. And we're like, us as regular people, like, we're seeing different things happening. So like, we all want to be like, I guess in some way we want to take that journalism like rod or whatever and into our own hands, and you want to put that content out there, you know. Which like, at some point I feel like Univision and Telemundo, I mean, they're huge, so I doubt it, but I mean, it's going to knock them down a little bit, because those journalists that are like really passionate, like you, like yourself, they're going to like, sometimes they might be discouraged, you know, because they can't pursue those stories that they want to pursue because
they can't be themselves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's tough, but I feel like at the end of the day, you need that experience. Mm-hmm. And you need to, even though you might not agree with something, you have to be open to everything. Mm-hmm. And that's really what's going to get you out there, having that experience with any kind of company. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why I want to pursue having my own, doing my own stories and putting them out on YouTube, because like that, I feel like every journalist right now is doing that. They're doing things on their own, and a part of working in the TV stations they're working for, they have their own like side gig.
Yeah.
On the side, they have their own podcast, or they have their own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And YouTube is becoming such a hit that everyone's doing it. It's so competitive now.
Yeah. And I mean, it's becoming so big that I think it's getting flooded too by like people that are good at it, and then people that aren't good at it, you know.
Even podcasts. Yeah. Everyone's doing podcasts. Yeah. Too.
I mean,
And then that's another interesting thing, because I do radio too as well, and a lot of people underestimated radio, saying that it was gonna die down.
Yeah.
And that it's people weren't gonna be listening to radio, but look at how many podcasts there is now. I feel like radio is actually growing.
Well, radio, I still feel it might die, like, because now, since like myself, I'm my own boss. I'm going out there and getting my own stories, telling my story, and I don't have anybody to tell me what I can and can't do. I'm still able to put music out there, so I could be like one of these radio stations and do the same thing like that they're doing, and I'm doing it on my own. I don't have a person to tell me what I can and can't do. I'm able to curse. So the FCC is not on my butt, you know, like if I was like international, if it was like statewide, Like, I'm worldwide with it. Like, with the internet, you're worldwide, so you even reach more people, you know?
True. So,
like, something like Que Buena, it's going to be, like, in a certain, like, L.A., you know? Like, it's not going to reach as far as, as the internet's going to reach, you know? So, I feel like that's the aspect that might kill the radio. But, I mean, radio's the radio, you know? Like, it's been here for so long that...
I just got interviewed by iHeartRadio, so I'm crossing my fingers. I
got that
internship in the summer.
Oh, cool. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Hopefully you get it. Tell me how it goes, and then I'll tell the listeners, you know, like, that you're part of it, and then hopefully they tune in. But, you know, let's continue with this interview.
Sure.
So how did you get into, like, I mean, not how did you, like, what made you want to go to Cal State LA? Because, I mean, Dominguez Hills is much closer to Wilmington than Cal State LA.
The reason why I went to Cal State LA is because I love the campus. It's very diverse, and part of that, it has a really good television and film program.
Okay.
Dominguez Hills, it is closer, and I don't want to talk bad about the school because I know it's a great school, but it's just when I visited and I talked to some of the professors, it wasn't really what I was looking for.
They just didn't feel it.
And they didn't have broadcast.
Oh, okay.
They just, in general, they just had journalism. And Cal State LA does have broadcast and has the proper equipment to get you prepared for when you go out in the real world.
Oh, okay.
And it has the studios and everything. So that's one of the other reasons why I decided to go all the way to Cal State LA. And another thing is, it is in the heart of LA.
Yeah.
It's really close to downtown.
Yeah.
Where, and Burbank and all those areas. So that's another reason. Huh. There's more connections.
Yeah. So like if you need to go to iHeartRadio, you know, it's much closer than coming from here all the way over there, right?
Exactly. I mean, it is a drive. I have to deal with traffic, but I feel like that's part of living in LA. Yeah. You're always going to deal with it.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless whether you want to stay away from it or not.
Yeah, until you get, like, these machines that will transport us, like...
Or those tunnels that they're planning on doing for...
I'm scared of those.
405 freeway.
Yeah, I'm scared of those. Especially because we're, like, very, like, we... So there's supposed to be, like, this big earthquake... And I'm scared of that, being stuck underground.
And then especially because our infrastructure sucks.
Yeah, I mean, they can't fix the pothole. Imagine what they're going to do to once we're underground. We're going to be stuck for like a long time.
True.
So how do you prepare for interview? Like, what is it that you look for? Like, let's say you're going to interview like that mother that lost her child. Like, how would you prepare for something like that?
I don't think you can prepare for stuff for situations like that. It's just very difficult because, like I said, you can't really. I never really prepare for my interviews. It's just that's just who I am.
Like you're more in the moment.
I'm more in the moment, exactly.
Okay.
I'm more. This is Bernice, and this is how I'm gonna be, and I'm just gonna ask whatever I feel like it's important and it's gonna make that person feel comfortable. But I feel like when you're in situations like that, when it's tragic, you're never really prepared.
Yeah, that's true. So like so far, like the interviews that you've done, you don't have to like choose just one, but which one do you feel like was more fulfilling for you, like as maybe as a journalist or as a mother? Like, which one do you, like, out of the interviews that you've done so far, which ones have maybe impacted you the most or have had an impact on people the most?
One that really impacted me was I interviewed Sonia Madrigal. She's the owner of Camila Boutique, here in Wilmington. And I went to her shop, and I didn't know her mom had passed away.
Oh, wow.
So I asked her about her mom, and she started crying. So at that moment, as a professional, you can't cry with them.
Yeah.
You know? So I hugged her. And honestly, when I hugged her, I felt a presence.
Oh.
And I knew, and I hugged her, and I told her, you know what? There's no coincidence that I'm here. I know your mom right now is here with us, and the one hugging you is your mom. It's not me.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So honestly, I felt like something. I felt something. And when I hugged her and she's like, thank you so much. And when I left that interview, I just, especially because she's a mom of two and she's just so amazing. All the things that she's doing and all the support that she has. And I feel like I was able to connect with her in a way. Because that hunger she has and that desire to be someone in life, I have it too, you know. So it was just so amazing. I left that day and I was just thinking and thinking and I was just so happy that I was able to go to a great person, a great individual with a great heart, that I was able to help her, and I was able to post her story on the Wilmington Wire, and she got a lot of great feedback from people wanting to know where her business was. So that for me is a great fulfillment when I'm able to put their business out there and people can support it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's very important. That's I think we have the same goals right here. You know, that's pretty much one of my goals too. Like what I'm trying to do with you, try to get your name, help you out. You're probably helping me more than I'm helping you.
No, both of us. But, empowerment, man. We're Latinos trying to do it out there and exactly. We have to support each other.
And it's rare when you find Latinos helping each other, you know.
Exactly.
Like, most of the time we're known to like stalk and pile and hate on each other and like
drag each other.
Yeah.
I definitely agree with you on that.
So I'm hearing that you're very spiritual. Like for everything you've been telling me, like what is it exactly about religion? Like it feels like religion is a big part of your life. Like spirituality and like it's very important. Like what is it about, like why are you so spiritual? I don't know. Like, I don't even know how to phrase that question without sounding kind of dumb. But like what is it like it's exactly that makes you be this way, I guess, because I don't know a lot of people that are,
like, I love listening to a lot of motivational speakers. Okay. And I love reading books about how to better myself as an individual, and I feel sometimes we forget about self-care, and honestly, all those people that I look up to that are very successful, I notice that in everything, they put God first.
Okay.
And I feel you do have to put God in everything, because I don't think I will be where I am if I didn't believe in God. And that's one of the reasons why I feel like I'm very spiritual, because the times where I felt like I couldn't do something, the first thing that I don't even go to church that often, but I don't feel like I need to go to church in order to be a good person.
Yeah.
Like I feel like God is with me everywhere I go, and if I have time for him at home or in any place and I just pray and me persino everywhere where I go, I should be good with him.
Yeah.
Like I don't necessarily have to go. I mean, and when I do have time and I just need to have a lot of stuff going on that I need to let a lot of things go, I do go to church and leave flowers to the Virgin Mary, to God. But I just feel like as a human being, you need to believe in something, whether it's true or not, or you just have to.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. Like personally, I'm not a spiritual person like that. And I do agree with you in that part where, I mean, you don't necessarily have to go to church. You could, like, if God is everywhere, then he's with you at all times and you're able to talk to him at all times, you know? Like, because I was, at one point I was religious. Like, I was really, like, into the church. But, you know, I had a falling out and, you know, like, that kind of broke my spirit a little bit. But I still believe, like, when I need him, he's going to be there. And he's not there, like, when I need him, it's for a reason. And maybe there's a lesson that I need to learn. And I'll just take it for what it is, you know? Like, a lot of people, like, they say, like, oh, God is not with me. Like, when I need him, he's not with me. Like, well, maybe you just need to learn a lesson, you know? Maybe if there is a God, there's a spirit out there, maybe it's trying to teach you something. Maybe that's what you're trying to get, you know? You're not always going to get what you want. Maybe that's, like... the point of the story. Like, you're never going to get exactly what you want. You're going to get what you need, but not what you want, you know?
True. So that's one of the reasons why I feel like it has always been part of my life. That's how I grew up. My parents are Catholic. And my husband's family is very Catholic too, so that has it's a big influence. It's always been part of my life, you know.
Yeah. So like, what are three qualities that you look for in like in every story that you write?
Three qualities.
Yeah.
I make sure it's relevant, that it's something people are curious about and want to know. And number two, something that's gonna make me stand out and make me make me stand out, and something like
set you apart.
Exactly, set me apart from other journalists. Mm-hmm.
So, like, what do you feel sets you apart from everybody else? Like, what do you bring to the table that you don't feel other journalists bring?
The connection that I have with people, that I'm able to get stuff out from people that other journalists might not be able to. And I just treat everyone like family, you know. Yeah. So sometimes people tell me, damn, how did you do that interview? Where did you get all that out from that? How did you get that out from that person? Yeah. Like, it's just a talent I have. It's not even intentional. It's not that I'm trying to. It's just, I guess I make people feel very comfortable and they let everything out. Sometimes I feel like I was meant to be a counselor too.
Yeah, you know what? I relate with you on that. Like, I always wanted to help. Like, I knew what I went through in high school, and I didn't want others to go through that. Cause so I came here when I was 9 to the U.S. right, and I was in the ESL program, and they placed me in special ed. So I was in special ed for a week. So they figured out that I didn't know English. Like, it wasn't that I was special. I just didn't know English. So, like, and then I saw as I was progressing, like, my, like, students that I started with, they're dropping out because they're having a difficulty with, like, English, you know? And, like, that's pretty much, those were the people I wanted to target, were, like, the people that, like, for some reason felt that they couldn't go through with getting an education or going farther in their education. But yeah, man, I agree with you on that. Like, I don't know, like, we're kind of doing the same thing, and yeah, it's trippy. Serendipity. I don't know.
Yes, it's, and I can relate to you in a way too, because I was 2 years old when my parents brought me to this country. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have my documents until I turned 11 years old. And I remember crying because my dad, I'm the oldest of four and the only one that was born in Mexico.
Okay.
From Michoacán. Uh-huh. From Michoacán. So my three youngest sisters, like, my dad will always take them to Mexico. Well, like, the one that's 3 years younger than me, he will always take her to Mexico. And I would always stay here and cry and be like, I want to go. Like, yeah. And my dad was like, you can't. And I never really understood that because I was young. Yeah. I'm like, why can't he take me, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just, that's another reason why I'm trying really hard to finish school, because I feel like it's my duty. Like, my parents sacrificed so much to bring me to this country. And for me, and I know I'm bilingual, and for me not to do nothing, like, it's not fair.
Yeah.
You know? And then I'm just so thankful to be in this country and thankful for being able to have my documents. That's one of the reasons why I feel like it's important for me to finish school. And another, I love school too as well. So yeah.
That's rare. That's rare when you find somebody that loves school. Some people go for necessity, but that's good. I mean, you're going to need to love school, because...
I bet I hate numbers. Well, I mean, it did take me a while to transfer because I hate math.
Oh.
But I love anything that has to do with English or other subjects, but I just can't deal with math.
Well, math is like puzzles. If you like puzzles, then you're most likely like math.
But hey, know? I did it. So whoever's listening that's struggling in math in community college or in high school, keep doing it, because trust me, I had a hard time, but I didn't give up, and I ended up transferring.
And use their resources, because most of the time, like, community college have free tutors you're able to reach. And even if you're in, I mean, if you're in high school, for sure, you have stay after school, talk to your teachers. They'll help you. If you seek the help, they'll help you.
Oh, yes. And Harvard College has a great program for math. It's called the PACE program. It's an 8-week session math course. So I recommend a lot of people that are struggling with math right now to transfer, that if they want to or are struggling with math statistics to transfer, make sure you go and research and get more information about the PACE program. They offer an 8-week course, which is awesome, and it's not as difficult, especially if you're a non-math major. They help you out a lot.
And why didn't you, the communications, like, you said you went to El Camino.
Yes.
So why didn't you do that in Harbor? Like, they don't offer those classes, or?
Well, it's just, I had already done everything at El Camino, so I just took math at Harbor College, and I just transferred it to El Camino.
Okay.
All right. So I didn't. It was too much for me to start everything or to transfer everything from El Camino to Harbor. So it was just more simple for me to just take one class and transfer it over to El Camino. I was well established over there. I was very known, and I had a lot of people helping me.
Okay.
A lot of connections. Uh-huh. And then I was part of a program called Puente.
Okay.
So it's just starting over here somewhere different and new. It would have been more complicated.
Yeah, it was more beneficial to stay there.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can you tell me a little bit about K-Lola?
K-Lola is a project that I'm working on in school. It's called, K-Lola is short for Ladies of LA. And it's me and two friends that are working on that project. And it's a little bit about woman empowerment. We touch bases on, it's very conversational, and touch bases on topics that are not really talked about.
Okay.
Like, for example, as a mom, I have a lot of ideas about talking about postpartum depression, depression in general, anxiety, panic attacks. I feel like those are topics that people are very sensitive about, that don't really want to talk about, and that when they do listen to those topics, people can relate to them and be like, finally someone's bringing out something that I've been dealing with. And I want to bring something out like that, where we can talk about sensitive topics that people get bring down, or because in our culture, especially as Latinos, we think that it's a sign of weakness.
When we
talk about these topics. So we bring a little bit of everything. We do entertainment, and we talk about how some celebrities that have dealt and came out about talking about their symptoms or their stories of suicide, depression, and all that stuff, and we bring it in there.
So is this for women, targeted towards women, or is it in general, like, for everybody?
It's in general for everyone. Okay. But mostly is women. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So like this past Sunday, I saw that you went to Molcajete Dominguero, like, on assignment, right?
Yes.
So how did, like, first of all, like, I interviewed, like, Luis from Los Vamos en Suami. He's actually the creator of it. He created that event. So, like, can you tell me how you heard about it? And can you tell me what you were doing there exactly? Like, what assignment were you, like, searching or, I don't know.
Well, I'm starting my own blog, and it's called Dila Diversity in L.A., and I want to bring up, the blog is about bringing, I attend events, and I take pictures, and I interview, and I make stories of all these awesome events that are going on that sometimes we don't really know about. And I feel like they need to be out there, you know, for people to see, and they can support the Latino community. So I heard about it because, like I said, I love Instagram. That's how I get a lot of my connections. I went on Instagram and I saw that they were advertising the Molcajete Dominguero. So I ended up over there. And then it happened to be that one of my friends, she owns her own juice company. Oh. It's called Andrea's Healthy Kitchen. She, I met her because I buy juices from her. I met her and she told me she was going to be attending the event. And I told her, oh, that would be great. I would love to interview you there. And she told me, oh, yeah, you should go. It's like the Disneyland for Latinos. you can find anything and so many handmade cute things. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to go. I was all excited and I was like, I'm going to go check it out. And I did. And I ended up interviewing a lot of the people that have that are vendors that have their own style, their own brand. It was amazing how people can come together and support each other as Latinos.
Well, like, so can you tell me what you got out of the whole event? Like,
what I got out of the event is that there's a lot of Latinos who are so inspirational that are, and another thing too that I was thinking about that it made me motivate myself that I myself as a Latina to become an entrepreneur. That I can have my own business, that I can be like them. For them, it all started as an idea, and now they're doing it. Like, you know, I even interviewed Roxy. She has her own brand called Brazen by Roxy, and she was a radio host. And look at her now. She's using her platform to empower women to start their own businesses, and she created her own brand. And she's very humble. She goes and sells her stuff. So I got a lot out of it. I even had the opportunity to buy stuff for myself and even advertise it for people on Instagram and help them out, you know, because that's what I'm all about, to help out other people.
So like what would, if you would want to open a business, or when you want to open a business, like what do you feel you're going to open, or like what do you think you're going to do?
I love dresses.
Okay. So clothing? Maybe clothing. Like a small boutique? Like.
Yeah, maybe like dresses. That's still something that I feel like I'm not as focused on right now, because right now I'm just focused on my career. Yeah, but that's some thought that I've had before. Yeah. That maybe I should do something on the side. But first, I'm more focused about creating my own.
Yeah. First things first. Like this, journalism's like your main. That's your goal. And then like after that, once you feel like you're established or you're able, like you're ready to pursue other things. And I mean, we're talking hypothetical right now.
Yeah, because like you said, I don't want to be all over the place.
Yeah. You just got to stay focused.
I want to be centered.
Yeah.
But right now, my main purpose is to serve and inspire my community and to finish my degree. And to become a great role model for my children, and to be to keep supporting my husband and his dreams, because I feel as a couple it's really important to support each other. And he's my number one supporter, and I promised him that I was gonna make him real proud. So those are my main goals right now, and to keep continuing and doing stories for the Wilmington Wire, and to keep doing the Wilmington Wire as much as possible, even until I do my own thing as a reporter. I want to give back to them.
So I don't know of a better way to end this episode, but with that, but you know, I have one last question, right? Before we finish this off, wrap it up into a burrito. Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years?
In 5 years, I see myself as a reporter.
Okay.
I see myself working for, I don't want to name any station.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to.
Yeah, this not
burn myself.
Yeah.
But I'm very excited, and I see myself having a great future. And I've been told by great big companies already that I have a lot of talent. So I'm taking that with me, and no matter what anyone tells me, I'm gonna keep doing my own thing. And to all the beautiful moms that are listening to me, keep doing your thing. Keep going. Don't ever let anyone tell you you can't do it, because you're a mom. If I can do it, anyone else can. And I hope to make all of you proud. And I hope that I'm going to continue doing this. And in 5 years, I see myself being a local TV news reporter for any TV station, and helping out the Wilmington community.
All right. Well, I mean, hopefully you guys heard what she's been saying. She's trying to help you guys, inspire you guys to pursue your dream, just like what she's doing, you know? So why don't you tell them where they could find your work, where they could find you? I don't know if you're doing an event where maybe they could talk to you and so they could, you know, inspire them in person, I guess.
Well, I'm going to, you can find me and send me messages, and I'm willing to help as much as I can. You can find me on Bernice Berenice, Berenice _MorenoTV. And you can also find me on Facebook and Berenice Moreno. And you can even find me on LinkedIn as well. And I'm going to be doing the event and the art walk that's coming up here in Wilmington, which is May.
Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo, yeah. Art walk. I'm going to be doing the event and interviewing people. So if you see me there doing my thing, just come by and say hi and ask me questions there. I'm here to help. Also, you can find me on the Wilmington Wire, where they usually tag me on my work. And make sure you go to the Wilmington Wire and like my stories and keep supporting me and keep sharing my stories, and let's keep them viral and helping our local businesses.
And what about your YouTube, the YouTube channel?
The YouTube channel, it's on the works.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, hope you guys got all that. I'm going to be posting like on the description. You can find all the info that she just said, but I like to have her say it that way. If you're an audio person, you caught it. If you're not, you're like a dummy like me, that I'm more of a, like, I like to like take the easy route and click on things. Then I'll make that easy for you. All right. And I'm also going to be at the Wilmington Art Walk, so better say hi to me too. All right. All right, well, you guys know this is going to be, we're going to get into my favorite part, besides the interview part, one of my favorite parts, which is sevens. So for any new listeners that don't know what sevens is, so sevens is essentially, it's like a heads up. It's like heads up. It's a word association game where she picks a category and she's going to have 7 seconds to answer 7 questions. So each question, she's going to have 7 seconds to answer, and she's going to pick the category. So at the end of the year, I'm going to give my guest with the high score, I'm going to give him something. So right now we're going towards a fathead of myself, giving him the thumbs up. So if you don't know what a fathead is, it's essentially just a big sticker giving you the thumbs up. So you could either take it as a sign to never come here ever again, or maybe as inspiration to tell yourself, like, he did it, I'm pretty sure I could do it too. I don't know. You do whatever you want with it. You don't even have to put it up. So yeah, so the high score so far is 32, set by Marty Moose from 21 Miles of Scenic Beauty, and then this Oxnard. So I'm going to give you the categories. So the categories are general, movies, TV shows, celebrities, music, sports, Broadway, food, animals, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and their corresponding music, stand-up, superhero, movie action, movie comedy, movie rom-com, movie award winners, football, baseball, basketball, and hockey. All right, so go for something that you feel I'm going to be good at giving to you. So it's not necessarily what you're good at. You also have to guess what I'm good at too. So what would it be? So if you're going to keep the high score, so you're going to have two tries, and then whichever score is highest, that's the one you're going to keep.
Okay.
So your goal is to be 32. Yeah, it's 49 seconds in total. So the quicker you answer the question, the more points you'll get. All right.
Animals.
All right. So this is a decent category for me. All right. So 3, 2, 1. It's a rock band. It's a bug also, with Paul McCartney, John Lennon. It's a bug. Okay.
No.
It's a monkey with a red butt. Like, really, he's from The Lion King also. It's a monkey. It's a type of snake that if it bites you, it has venom. It has like a little thing.
Rattlesnake?
Yeah. It has spikes. It's like a little.
Porcupine?
Yeah. if it stings you, like it swells you up, some people are allergic to it and they might die. It's a like little bug. It flies. Mosquito? No, it's the other one. Oh. Okay, it's black. It's supposed to be like darkness. You see them all over the place. They're all black. It's a bird. Oh. Okay, so like birds have this. Like it's like not a beak, but like it's like talons. Another word for talons.
Toucan?
No, claws. All right, so beetles, baboon, rattlesnake, porcupine, bee, crow, and claws.
Oh.
All right, so you got five. So how about we go for general, all right? This is usually where people do the best.
Okay.
Right. It's a video. It's a board game with money, with made up money. It's a board game.
Monopoly?
Yeah. He's a genius with like crazy hair. He's like the genie. He's a genius. It's like Pacific, the Pacific
Ocean.
Not up but
down.
I like the skin of a cow. Like they make jackets, leather. Pants. You store your car here. It's part of your house.
Driveway.
No, the other one. It's part of your house.
Garage.
Like, I'ma suck your blood. It's like
vampire.
Yeah. Alright. Well, you did pretty good on this one. You didn't beat the score, but you got 17.
I suck at this.
Yeah. So I mean I can't believe he was like the third episode this year. So he's had the high score since January. So I can't believe nobody's been able to beat him. So it's all good, man. It's all good.
I tried.
Yeah, I mean I played this myself and I've got zero sometimes. So yeah, you know, you're not the lowest score, right? So that's it. I'm gonna wrap it up. But before I go, you guys can find me at Let Me Know Pod on Instagram and Facebook. You can find the podcast wherever, if maybe you're hearing it through somebody else's phone or whatever. So you can find me on SoundCloud, iTunes, TuneIn. So now I know I told you last week, but I'm on Spotify, guys. So I just want to thank you guys. Thank you for like putting the effort and helping me out. So there's no excuse, guys. Help me share this. Help us share this, because you're not only helping me, you're helping her get her name out there. And you know, we're right here pursuing a dream.
Well, I appreciate it a lot.
So please help us out. Share, review, go on iTunes, leave a rating, 5 stars, leave a review. Trick people, I don't care, but just get this podcast out there. All right, guys. Well, you know what? I'm going to leave you guys with that. But before I go, I just want to thank you guys for letting me be part of your day.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Till next time, guys. Bye. California sunlight, darkness turns bright. It takes you to unknown heights, palm trees that got me hiding. It's the studio and it's night in. It's these words that I'm writing. Cruising down the coast, hit the bridge while we roll. Lighting up the slums, hot box while we bump. Poison darts coming from the trunk, open it up. Lights the sky up, crowds surrounds. Only crowds are that loud. 25 years since I was a child, contemplating leaving the grounds. Man, did you hear how that sounds? Absurd thought coming from the dome. Golden State's where I call home. Steady rocking purple and gold. Even when I'm so low, I'm not alone. The South Bay of LA, home of no clones. The plastic rich live in the hills, but down here we're paying bills. But at least down here the happiness is real. The happiness is real. Cali shine make us feel alright. The Cali life make us feel alright. The Cali trees burn bright green. The Cali breeze is the only air that I breathe. Cali shine makes it feel alright. Cali life makes us feel alright. Cali trees burn bright green. Cali breeze is the only air that I breathe. Stay on public transportation, get close to my people. Everything is fair, lower class, everyone is equal. Get a charge on Metro, no cash for petrol. But I connect to the roots, the truth. Ain't no love like poor love, Cali slums. Four-time alley bums, through that pushed up that make you numb. If you wanna survive, you can't be dumb. On your toes from the get-go. Once you step on the gravel, kick to the pavement. Saying ghetto life is tried far beyond an understatement. You can't have your fun, but be alert. Ghetto bird, loud, absurd. See something cotorro, don't say one word. Many rules to the game, some proclaim their wisdom gained. The untamed, they go insane. Pain brings the wisdom. Without pain, you don't reach mental kingdom. Poor pockets, rich view from eye socket. Cali life, a hustle, you can't knock it. Cali shine make us feel alright. The Cali life make us feel alright. The Cali trees burn bright green. The Cali breeze is the only air that I breathe.
Cali shine makes it feel alright. Cali life makes it feel alright. Cali trees burn bright green. Cali breeze is the only air that I breathe.